Thank you for that joyful song. Can we all join in a word of prayer? Loving God, we thank you so much for your mighty, powerful deeds, for your gentle, tender love, and for the way that you bless us, the way that you bless us today and in our lives. Help us today to just relax, to breathe, and to think about how you are at work in our lives. Amen. So this might be new to some of you, even if you weren't a part of VBS. I think you've kind of guessed a little bit of the theme here. We had a Mount Everest expedition, and I think that Mount Everest is just this fabulous comparison for what we're talking about this week, because it's really the ultimate journey. It's an adventure. It's a challenge. It's something that I might hazard a guess is probably not on the radar for most of us. I know it's not for me. I think it works beautifully as a theme because we have this idea of Mount Everest as a rugged and dangerous kind of trip. And what better way to be reminded of how much we need God, how much we rely on God, than when we're going through the rugged dangers of life. But today, as we talk about what it means to find God on the road, I'm not advocating that we all climb Mount Everest or tackle anything ambitious like that. I think that many of us really just need a break. I think we're looking forward to maybe a very different kind of vacation. For some of us, that might just be in the backyard. It might be going to a favorite lake house. It might be going to the beach. I think there's always something good for the soul about just sitting and looking at water. But wherever we find our downtime, wherever we get that much needed vacation, it's a chance to do things a little bit differently than we do at home. And it's a chance to notice things that we might not see when we're stuck in some of the day-to-day busyness. And so I think that might be the reason that so many of the world's religions encourage some kind of a pilgrimage. And people used to do pilgrimages for a variety of reasons. If you're not familiar with the idea of pilgrimage, it's where the word pilgrim comes from. It's someone who's taking a trip, possibly to a holy shrine or cathedral. In the old days, maybe to go see the bones or a relic of a saint, a long-lost saint. People might walk as a form of penance, as a way to say sorry to God for something that they felt lousy about. Or people might walk as a form of gratitude, a way to say thank you to God for relief from an illness or for a loved one's illness. And some of these pilgrimages were pretty grueling, long walks. And so that's why I have to imagine that for the pilgrims, the journey was just as important, probably more important, than the destination. And so I wonder for us, when we're away from the normal routines over the summer, how can we create a kind of pilgrimage? How can we create a kind of in-between space, a space between home and wherever our ultimate destination is? And whether our holy place is going to be Disney World or the Grand Canyon, whether it's camping or the beach, whether it's the Adirondack chair in the backyard, how can we turn some of our own summer journeys into a place where we go fully expecting to meet God and to experience God along the way? And so I think in order to do that, we have a lot to be learned from these more traditional pilgrimages. I read about Carrie Egan. She writes of her pilgrimage in Spain along the Camino de Santiago. So this is a very popular destination for European pilgrims. It's a long, long walk, starting in southern France, going all of the way to a magnificent cathedral that houses a saint's bones. And she spends about one sentence talking about getting there and seeing those bones for herself. But she spends an entire book talking about the journey. And what's funny is that here's a woman, she is currently a chaplain, but at the time, she had just graduated from Harvard Divinity School. So here's somebody who spent 3 years writing papers about God, reading about God, working about God, you know, every day and night. And when she started walking, she realized that in all of that time, and even in all of her upbringing as a devout Catholic, that she had never really experienced God. She writes, "I didn't have too much experience of God, or at least any that I bothered to pay attention to and was able to recognize as the presence of God." See, it wasn't that Egan thought that God hadn't been with her. It was that she had never stopped to notice or to think about how God was at work in her life. And so while she was walking day after day, she experienced God for real in more powerful ways than she would have if she had stayed at home. And she experienced God for real in the faces and the voices of the people along the way. There were a lot of people who really had dedicated their lives to caring for the pilgrims who were passing through. And she also experienced God in her own anger and her own pain, because part of what she had been doing as she walked was hoping to figure out how to get over the death of her father from a long illness. And so as she got angry with God on this journey, and as she got tired and uncomfortable and thirsty and yelled at God, she realized just how much she needed God and just how present God was to her all along. And so as I read this book, which I highly recommend, it kept reminding me of a sermon that a dear friend of mine preached at my ordination a few years ago. And in that sermon, she used the words of Psalm 139. She said that when she was a child, they would go on car trips in the family station wagon. And her father, the first thing that he did before he put the car in reverse is he would reach into the glove compartment and he would pull out printed on a dot matrix printer, he would pull out this one page of Psalm 139. And he would read to his family, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways." And as her family embarked on a trip, they were reminded every time that they were going somewhere where God had already been and was going ahead and was going alongside and behind them. And so Wendy recalled many years later, as a college student, she was getting ready to go study in Scotland for a semester. And when the family came to see her off at O'Hare, her father reached into his jacket pocket and he pulled out that one pager on the dot matrix printer. And he read to his family, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence, Lord? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand hold me fast." And so, for thousands of years since the psalmist wrote those words, when we are away from the safety of home, we and everybody who came before us is reassured by God's presence. It's not an accident that so many Bible stories take place in the desert. Because in the Bible, when people are taking these long trips, sometimes across barely inhabited lands, people like Abraham and Sarah, or maybe you remember Hagar and Ishmael, and how they encountered God in the desert. Because that was a place where they were in constant reminder of life and death, constant reminder of how much they needed God. And people still experience that today. A colleague of mine who spent a summer volunteering on the border of Texas and Mexico, her job was to ensure that water jugs were full and accessible so that people in the desert could find water. And as she was going long distances from jug to jug, she experienced her own thirst, her own hunger, the burning heat for herself. And she said for the first time, she realized, this is why there's so many Bible stories in the desert, because you are aware in a way that you're just not in the comforts of home, that we rely on God for our very breath, our very life, and our very being. And so today we come together as part of this time that we share, reflecting on Sabbath, reflecting on what it means for us. And we hear the words of Psalm 150, Psalm 150 urges everything that moves and breathes and has life, to praise God. And it encourages us to do so in loud, kind of raucous ways. It doesn't say anything about praising God through the organ, which is stunning and wonderful, or praising God through the guitar, which is lively and beautiful, although those are wonderful things that we do. But it says we don't have to leave it just to the guitarists and the organists. We can all praise God. We can praise God like our kids did with their singing. We can praise God with our voices. We can praise God with our bodies. We can do that by serving, of course, like our work trippers did. But we can also praise God by just being in our own bodies, being restful, being peaceful, and enjoying this body that God gave us. And we can praise God with our lives. One of the things I love about Playground Church, which we're going to start again next week, is that we get together with the kids and sometimes with families, and we pray and we sing, and we talk about how we're worshiping God when we pray and sing. But we also run around, maybe we play dodgeball, maybe we swing, we slide, and we remind the kids that we're praising God when we do all of those things too. Because that's why God gave us this life and this breath, so that we can live fully and that we can praise God wherever we go and whatever we do. And so I want to share with us today a little something that I put together for my summer vacation. And you'll see in your bulletins, I gave you a few suggestions that you are welcome to take or not. It's all good. But I thought, what would it look like when we were going on our summer vacations or wherever we're going, to the beach, to the pool, whatever, if we were conscious about how might we meet God on this trip? And so I created a little bit of a bucket list. I put some kind of obvious things in it, a Bible. This one I like because it's waterproof. I thought this was kind of fun for Everest. If you were hiking, you might need a snazzy waterproof Bible. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't bring my Bible on vacation because I've got my iPhone. I've got my iPad. You can always find the Bible on your iPhone, on your iPad. And then I also like to bring a camera on vacation. So I'm going to take, you are all my God sighting for today. So I'm going to take a picture of you. There we go. All right. Bring your camera. Take a picture of where you see God in action. I'm seeing God in action right there in that beautiful baby. I'm seeing God in action in the wonderful musicians up there. I'm seeing God in action in all of you. But think about when we go out into creation, how we can really experience so much God in action. So bring a camera, bring an iPhone, share those with people. And then just to get up close, I brought a magnifying glass. Because one of the cool things about being with children is they're low to the ground. They see all kinds of cool things. And so my kids are always pointing out to me some creature or something, some creepy crawly thing that I might not be too excited about. But when we look at that and we get up close, we think, oh my goodness, God is amazing. Like, how did God think to create this little creepy crawly creature like that? And so we can see God up close when we take a moment and we look at some of those along the way. I also brought some sidewalk chalk. I'm not going to write on here. I might get in trouble if I did that. But sidewalk chalk, what if everywhere we went, we were leaving messages of peace, comfort, joy, mercy? What if we were drawing hearts and rainbows and peace signs or whatever it is to share a little taste of God's love everywhere we go? And I also brought my traveling music. So I think if I speak for all of our Vacation Bible School parents when I say we are so done with the VBS music, right? Because our kids have been listening to it nonstop this week. So when it comes time to lose the VBS CD, I pull out some of my other favorites. These are my Justin Roberts CDs. And I will tell you, we had Justin Roberts here in January. He's this great musician. Faithful, wonderful man as well. He wrote all of this music about Bible stories. I have had more fabulous conversations with my kids from these CDs than I have in all of the evenings that I read the Bible to them at bedtime. We learn things through music, through lyrics, through poetry that we might not experience all the time. And then finally, I brought some bubbles because I think we need to be a little more playful. Is that okay? All right, sorry, JJ. I think there's nothing more devotional in our life, in our lives, than doing something playful and fun and just being in the moment and enjoying it. And so even though when we go on a trip, we're eager to get there, right? We're eager to start having our vacation. But take some time along the way. Take some time along the way for a journey. Pack your buckets, pack your suitcases with whatever it is that helps us to experience, to look around us, and to see the living God. And this summer, I just want to remind all of us, wherever we go, to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with singing and instruments. Praise the Lord with running and skipping. Praise the Lord with swimming, with jumping through sprinklers. Praise the Lord on airplanes and in long car trips. Praise the Lord at the Grand Canyon in Yosemite. And praise the Lord at Disney World. Wherever we go this summer, friends, remember that let everything that has life and breath and love in us praise the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Amen.